Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to Wrapping Everything Live, a call-in show brought to you by the good people at Yattlesworth Canada and presented by KFC. I am Joshua Hart, joined as always by my co-host, William Moose, fresh back from Magic City. He dipped in a production meeting to go get some wings. Will, how you living?
The wings are good, man. The wings are good. Unfortunately, you know, I have not gone down to Atlanta to get those wings because of COVID. But, when health permits, hopefully we can do a show from there, maybe live. We change the lighting a little bit and just, you know, get to the bottom of it. Like, how good are these wings? But, I'm really thankful to be back. First off, actually, a huge thanks to our production team, Ashley, Louisa's staff, everyone helping out to get the show back up. You know, obviously the look is a little different because we can't be in studio, but hopefully the content will still be the same. And then really that starts with you guys. I mean, if you guys can call the number you see on the screen, 289-778-0918, you can get in touch with our producer, Ashley, and she will patch you through to us. But first off, Josh, Raps 2-0, undefeated in the bubble. What's going on, man? How on a scale of 1 to 10, how excited are you based on the two performances we've seen?
I think the Raptors look like every bit the returning champion that they were before the break. There wasn't a drop-off like you've seen with other teams. The defense looks great. Pascal looks like he is every bit ready to be the dude going into the playoff run. I mean, I'm sure we're going to hear from fans all afternoon, but the Raptors look great. Things are very exciting. It's never been more fun to be a Raptors fan.
Yeah.
How are you doing? I was listening to your pod. You seem excited.
How could you not be, man? First off, beating the Lakers, always fun, all right? Beating the Washed King. When OG outscored the Washed King, it was pretty funny. Definitely did not see any Instagram posts about Washed King after that game.
Fact.
And then, the second win, Fred went just nuts, man. I mean, you know, I don't want to gloat, but certain people on here might have advocated, 4 months ago for Norman Powell, fellow Jamaican Norman Powell, to be starting over Fred VanVleet. And I just love to hear your thoughts on Mr. Fred VanVleet and what he did yesterday.
It was kind of a surprise to see Fred go off as much as he did. At the beginning of the game, it still looked like he didn't quite have his legs. And throughout the game, you'd see him, he'd leave stuff short at the rim. But it's undeniable. Like, he went crazy in that third quarter to help push the Raptors up. And if not for the help of the rest, I think it would not have been as competitive a game. I still think that Norm Powell has a big role to play in the offense. His legs aren't under him yet, and it's been tough to watch. He's had some really bad moments in both of these games. Mm-hmm. Kuzma cooked him whenever he was on the court on Saturday, but I don't know. I really like Fred. I'm really happy for him. Still think his contract negotiation is going to be something really interesting to talk about come November. But
the man's earned his money. Come on, man.
I know,
he's earned the money.
Is Masai gonna pay?
Of course he's
gonna
pay.
It's gonna be complicated. The Raptors are gonna have a big payroll going into a summer where they think they can catch the biggest fish that's out there with a declining cap from the league because of the same thing that kept the show away for 21 weeks will maybe keep Fred from staying with the Raptors.
If there's anything I learned from the Miami Heat the last couple of years is you can have a big payroll, still sign free agents, especially if those guys are good. That's actually the issue the Heat have had. They've signed a lot of players who are average, the big contracts. But if you have good players, those are still assets, right? So you could move those pieces when the need comes. But I think you got to hold on to Fred, man. Fred is clearly a piece for the future. Yeah. We actually have our first caller, actually. This is historic, all right? For the first time in 148 days.
It's been that long. Well, Mallory from Richmond Hill, welcome to the show. You're on with Will and I.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Okay. Hi. I listen to you guys quite a lot. Sometimes I listen to you guys to fall asleep. Anyways, hi, I'm Mallory.
Hi, Mallory. Welcome to the show.
Please don't fall asleep during this.
No. I gotta get ready for work, but I thought I'd call in just before I gotta run off to work. But I was wondering what you guys, what like surprising thing that you like kind of filled your times with when there was like no NBA around and like everything was locked down.
That's a good question. Josh, what'd you do?
For the first time in my life, I did a bit of yoga. My partner's a big yoga person, so I did a little bit of that early in the quarantine. Played video games, and I'm not a huge video game person later on, but that's about it. Regular stuff. Cooked more, did like baking projects, went on walks around the neighborhood. Lots of Zoom calls. I guess that's everybody. Like I spoke to friends from university that I'd, just like you know the people in your life that you just put the party hat emoji on their Instagram stories, and that's the limit of your interactions with them. Those were the people that I spent more time
Oh,
talking to. So
that is
that's I
actually so
mean
great and wholesome.
that is mad wholesome. I feel like for me, I w did more like solitary activities, like just like biking around the city for like 2 hours at night. During quarantine was actually pretty fun just because like you couldn't get out at all, pretty much in that March and April period where it was still cold. And I don't drive, so like I biking around, seeing the city at night was actually really fun. And then, after that, I started, practicing hoops, worked on my free throws. Basically, just one
Yo,
person
nice.
a night at 11:30 p.m. at a local junior school, shooting free throws for like an hour and a half while the neighbors are pissed that I'm breaking so many shots. So, yeah,
It
a lot more physical
makes sense.
activity, I
None of the
think.
kids are at school. Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. Yeah. Also, I wanted to kind of like shout out Vitaly from Moscow, and I hope he calls because like it is so entertaining every time he talks on the show.
Definitely. He's a legend. I hope this message has gotten out to Moscow today. Vitaly, if you're listening, man, call in, man. Come on.
Yeah.
Everybody can't wait to hear from you.
Cool.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well,
Yeah. Okay,
Mallory,
cool.
thanks for reaching
Super.
out. Have a good shift
Yeah.
at work. Stay safe. And be
Thanks.
good.
Right.
Yeah.
Peace.
That
Was nice.
was nice.
Will, I speaking of your bike ride,
Yeah.
I remember when you DM'd me a photo of my apartment at 2:30 in the morning, setting you up. It was very strange when I got up the next morning, like, I guess Will
Yeah, I think on that
bike
same,
passed,
I think
but
on the
I was
same,
not up, clearly.
yeah, on the same ride, I think I sent you a picture of Chop Chop at Dundas and Bathurst, and it was just sad that we couldn't go. That's definitely one of our
I can't
go-to
wait to go
spots.
back. I think they've reopened, but they were closed for a long time.
Yeah.
Because when I like tried to order take out a delivery, show some support for a well, we've recommended Chop Chop to Stanley Johnson,
Oh yeah,
right?
definitely. Stanley,
We must have.
order some Chop Chop, man. Come on. Break quarantine, get some Chop Chop from Toronto, bring it back for your teammates.
That's an insane idea.
It? Be very productive, I feel like.
Yes. Bruno Cabloca could probably go for the red. I don't think he's going to get much playing time. We have a question from the YouTube chat, another a great feature of our call-in show. From John Phillips, I'm not worried about the Raps in any 7-game series, but I'm terrified of the media calling us frauds if we drop one of the lead-up games.
I mean, this it is what it is, man. That's the game is the game, So here's the thing, like don't get too caught up in national media. It's always fun, trust me, it's always fun when, Stephen A. Smith is yelling about how great your team is and slandering someone else. But realistically, like they're just gonna go with the flow. You're always gonna hear both sides of it. And honestly, my hope is just now that we're past that period of the Raptors where, they were kind of embarrassing in the playoffs, just like don't be embarrassing. And I kind of believe in this team because A, they could just defend. And like I never their defense will never be embarrassing. So they'll be in games. Offensively, it could look ugly in some games. And who cares if people slander you? But I think it'll be competitive. It's not gonna be like LeBron is up 50 points on Louis Scola and Patrick Patterson.
No, that's not going to happen. But I do think it is unbelievable when CBS will publish, who's going to win the NBA championship, like Lakers, Clippers, Bucks, other. And it's just rude. It's just going to happen. They're not going to like it. And someone's going to call in when that happens. happens in a few weeks to complain about it, and I'm going to agree with them because the Raptors are 2-0 in the bubble and were winning games consistently up until then, had a 15-game win streak, biggest comeback in franchise history. If people were listening to your podcast, they heard about all of these great, like, you know, signature wins of the season. Put some respect on the Raptors' names.
Yeah, facts.
I think it's the very least they could do.
It also gives us great content, though, so, you know, can't really complain. Got another caller?
Yes. Yes, we did have another caller. Samir from Toronto. Samir, welcome to the show. You're on with Will and I.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's good, man?
Not too much.
Yeah, so my question is, what do you guys think about Nick Nurse getting snubbed for the Coaches Association Coach of the Year?
I feel like, okay, first off, I do want to acknowledge, you know, Billy Donovan. I feel like he's done a good job with that team. Like, let's be real. Everyone expected OKC to be garbage. Chris Paul's really bought into that program. I think it takes a lot to get a bet to buy in like that in Oklahoma City. He could have just easily demanded a trade and sort of, like, you know, pulled one of those superstar moves. He didn't do that. And I do credit the coach when you can get people to buy in. Mike Budenholzer, I'm not really giving him any credit, man. You got the award last year, okay? Congratulations. You designed one scheme. You played the same scheme all year. You won a lot of games. Giannis is MVP. Fantastic, all right? You're not getting the Coach of the Year, all right? No, Coach of the Year should not go to teams that have the MVP on the roster. It has to be like a Steve Kerr, like, 73-win, you know, type of season. It's like, okay, fine. Maybe give him all the credit in the world. But whatever, with Milwaukee. I think, honestly, with Nick – this is just my theory, but you know how, like, there's always coaches' trees, right? We talk about, like, Greg Popovich's coaching tree or, like, you know, Pat Riley's coaching tree. Like, there are people in the league that have connections because they've been in there, they've been in different programs. People band together. Like, if you watch a broadcast with, like, you know, Jeff Van Gundy, he's always going to talk nice about, oh, Tom Thibodeau. You know what I mean? Like, these guys are, like, work together, like Steve Clifford or whoever. So, I just don't know if Nick has, like, you know, a fraternity like that, or if he's part of any sort of coaching tree or anything like that, mm-hmm. he's kind of an outsider. So I could see that being a factor. And I can also maybe see jealousy being a factor too, because, you know, it probably hurts your feelings when you lose to Nick Nurse playing a high school defense against you and then you're losing, you know?
So yeah, I agree. I agree 100%. Like, I was thinking the same thing. Like, I just think Mike Budenholzer probably has more connections. And
yeah, he's from the Spurs tree.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, Billy Donovan 100% deserves it. The thing about Budenholzer is he hasn't done anything we didn't expect. We expect him to be a 60-plus win team. We expect Giannis to be MVP. So, like, how can you say that Budenholzer deserves it over Nurse? Like, it's just nonsense, you know?
The Bucks will be statistically one of the, like, historically great teams. And I actually don't think it's really that crazy. I think like many of the Raptors fans, believe Nick Nurse will get the nod when it actually matters. But Budenholzer is coaching a statistically and historically significant team, and there should be some credit for that. They are going to be championship favorites for that reason. And I don't know. The Billy Donovan thing, I think, is impressive. Like, it's a young team that I think people thought were preparing to build for the future, and they're, what, the 4 seed in the West now? Or no, they're not quite that high.
Yeah.
No, they're six. I think they're six.
But they're within range of going all the way because the Jazz are falling apart and the Rockets can't get out of their own way. But that's that's impressive as hell.
That's also like if you gave Dwayne
people
Casey
like Billy Donovan.
That's like if you gave Dwayne Casey Coach of the Year for that 2013-14 Raptors season though. You know, and we weren't doing that. It's like, all right, everyone expected this team to win 15 games. They just traded Bargnani. They just traded Rudy Gay.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, they're actually good. It's cool. Like, those stories are definitely cool. But, yeah, I think with Nick Nurse, too, I think that the true test, I think, of a reflection of just what other coaches think of him realistically is, like, they started copying a lot of what Nick Nurse does. Like, have you ever seen a box and one in the NBA before Nick Nurse started doing it? And I was watching a game against the Knicks earlier this year where they did a box and one with their four power forwards and another power forward at the top. And I was like, wow, look, even the Knicks are copying the Raptors. Like, you know, if the Knicks are doing it, I'm sure smarter teams have already clued on to some of this stuff. You know, you look at how they guarded James Harden, right? Like in that December matchup, they aggressively trapped him at half court. Now, whatever, Ben McLemore hit like 8 threes. The Raptors lost that game in, I think, overtime. Whatever, or close loss. But, you know, I watched on December 25th on Christmas when it was Warriors-Lakers or Warriors-Rockets. And Steve Kerr was using that exact defense against James Harden. And I've seen just a lot of things where, look, coaches are always going to copy each other. It's a copycat league. But, you know, when you're the guy who people are copying, that means that you're the best coach. Like, I think that, you know, is pretty clear. So,
yeah. I think it's like give credit where credit's due, you know?
Mm.
Like, they should give credit for that to Nick Nurse. It's like one of those things.
I agree. It's like executive of the year with my side, man.
I just have one other question. What do you guys think, outside of the starting five and then Ibaka, Powell, who do you think Nick Nurse is going to look to, maybe another one or two players in the playoffs?
Rondae Hollis-Jefferson seems to be the number one candidate for getting extra minutes outside of that top seven. The Raptors' bigs are old. Having somebody else with fresher legs to spell them is useful. I mean, that's
Rondae.
But I don't think
I love Rondae, but like it's 6'4" on 5", right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking more just on minutes.
Has gotten a lot of minutes the last two games. I mean, if he didn't twist his ankle in that Laker game, he would have played more. But he played a decent amount yesterday against the Heat too. I think Rondae has a decent shot of it, to be honest. I just think defensively he does bring a lot of things that is useful. Like realistically, the way the Raptors are stacked right now, the starting lineup is going to be great. They're gonna go out there. Yeah. They're cohesive. They can defend. They can score. Everything's perfect. You know, starting lineup is great. But because the starting lineup is so great, there's not as much depth to functionally pour over with the bench. And so you have guys like Norman Serge, who we know can work with those five guys and can sub in and out. That eighth guy is just always tricky. But at least with Rondae, like, we know he can defend. And if you can just defend and make those minutes off the bench even, we know obviously he takes a lot off the table offensively, but if he can just make those minutes even, I don't know, man. I don't think Nick Nurse is getting that ambitious, right? He played Pat McCaw so many minutes too. It's kind of the same deal. Just defend out there, try to keep things even, and basically hold the line until the starters come back in and go for another like 20-7 run, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Rondae's done a really excellent job in the regular season and through the bubble so far. He deserves to play. I think cutting his minutes completely would be unfair for the effort. He's turned in a great effort. At the beginning of the season, Stanley suggested just pulled Rondae recommendations.
He was
a total bust, and he's played his ass off. I think you got to honor guys who go out and really show up for your team and show up for the club, and he's deserved it. And yeah, that's where I'm at with it.
Yeah, and I think as long as TD stays away from the conspiracy theorists type of shit, you know, he'll get some minutes.
Yeah, no, he's got to do that first. All right, no, the TD praise is on hold.
So imagine being held into the office to talk to Masai.
I know, right?
Like imagine Masai says, right? Like, you got to come to my hotel room. We have a discussion. The dread in your heart, is.
Man.
You guys saw that when calling in. LeBron, have a good one. Oh, no, I was going to say, you guys saw, I forgot, one media member asked Nick Nurse about it, and he didn't look too happy.
Yeah, I saw that.
It wasn't good.
Look, it's unfortunate, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, here's the thing with the media thing, too. I just think it's hard to, I always think about the pros and cons, because if you do talk about it, you make it into a story, then you're also lending credence to this, like, conspiracy theory. And, like, just, like, what is the ultimate, you know, what's the greater good here? And I think, I don't know, man. Hopefully it doesn't turn into that big of a story, because I just don't even want, it's not even for Terrence's sake, I just don't want the conspiracy theory to gain any traction. You know, just keep it in the, just keep it as an offline thing. Anyway,
all right, guys,
thanks for calling,
man. All right, have a good one.
Be good. All right. Some things change, others don't. We have somebody on the line, Satha from Ottawa. I'm hoping getting your name right. Welcome to the show. Hello. Satha?
What's going on? All right, maybe he'll call back?
Yeah, hopefully.
All right. What do you want to say? I mean, what does Terrence think? I mean, it's just disappointing, man. I don't know. Why do people fall for conspiracy though? Maybe we could talk about that. Okay. Why do people fall for these things?
It's an easier excuse than we need to contract some of our freedoms for an indeterminate amount of time for the protection of others. Like, it's not the situation that we're all in sucks. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody wants to be apart from their families or their favorite activities or any of this stuff. And I don't even really want to give him too much airtime. I think he's like a young, maybe more naive than I'd hoped guy, and he fell victim to this thinking that isn't very productive or consider of what it takes to keep others safe. It's great that he is someone who gets to work with compassionate, informed people like the Raptors organization have proven themselves to be.
They have one of the best doctors in the world, Alex McKechnie. I feel like he can maybe explain that vaccines are one of the greatest inventions in mankind, essentially. And maybe show him a couple of pictures of what people with polio deal with. You know what I mean? So, it's unfortunate. And then even you know, Chris Boucher was sharing that McDonald's thing. Like, it's like, come on, man. Like, I don't know if you saw
that. Do you want to catch more Chris Boucher?
No, I mean, I'll catch it for that, man. This guy thought it was, anyway, whatever. We don't want to spread anything. We got another caller on the line. We have Joe in Toronto wanting to talk about Kyle Lowry as the MVP, maybe of the team, but maybe of the league. I don't know. Let's see how far Kyle Lowry praise goes. Joe, welcome to the show.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me, guys. Hey, Josh, and hello, Will.
How you doing, man?
My question comes from a Discord conversation that I was having this morning with some friends around, I guess, my hubris and belief that, like, Raptors will win the championship. And then the topic shifted to, can Kyle Lowry get finals MVP? And the consensus, even from people who weren't Raptors fans, was sort of like, this would be, like, a best-case scenario. This would be very cool. This is, like, best timeline. So I started thinking, like, what does he have to do to get there? And I guess that's the question I want to start with you guys.
I don't think there's a path to Kyle Lowry winning final MVP. Come on. He'd have to lock up either LeBron or Kawhi. He'd have to contribute defensively against a guard, and he's not going to pick up that defense. That's what voters will look at. If he averages 40, maybe. But realistically, the matchup that will determine who wins finals MVP will be who guards the other team's best guy, in addition to what they do on offense. Because the two guys who are expected to represent the Western Conference in either LeBron or Kawhi, you'd have to guard them. I don't really think there's a path to Kyle Lowry winning finals MVP with the way basketball works.
Right.
If he breaks basketball and, like, you know, averages, like, shoots like Patty Mills did in the 2015 or 2014 finals, sure, but I don't know. Do you see it, Will?
My case is, excuse my printer randomly just going off. My case for this is, let's say it's like an 04 Pistons type of team, right? Where, you know, there's not necessarily one standout, like, superstar that's sort of like the clear cut, like, Kawhi level candidate, right? Then you're looking at a team where, okay, so they defend well, they play well as a group. That's the 0-4 Pistons, right? And it's not like, okay, so Rasheed Wallace or Ben Wallace got, like, MVP, you know, consideration because they were able to slow down Shaq, right? The guy who won Finals MVP that year, if I'm not mistaken, was Chauncey Billups, right? And the guy who's had the most similar career arc to Kyle Lowry has been Chauncey. And you know, I think he'd be widely recognized as the leader of that group. I think, you know, even guys like Pascal, who you could say, okay, maybe Pascal's a leader. You know, Pascal's even acknowledged that. Of course, Kyle's the leader of this group. It's Kyle's team, right? And he sets the tone. And I feel like, honestly, obviously Kyle's got to deliver goods too. Like, he's probably got to average, like, pretty respectable numbers. But at the same time, if the Raptors get this far, if the Raptors win the championship, like, and the Raptors have a guy who's up for finals MVP, I think it'll be a bit of a split vote. I could see a couple of guys getting it, but I think ultimately Kyle will get most of the praise because people recognize this is still Kyle's team.
Yeah. That 0-4 Pistons comparison is, like, useful, but I don't think the Raptors are going to meet a team as dysfunctional as the 0-4 Lakers in the finals.
You never know with the Clippers, man. Maybe Doc Rivers, you know.
Like,
the Rockets aren't going to the NBA.
Yeah, no, they're not.
But I really like – salute to the Rockets. I think they've – you know, I think right before the season was suspended, they'd like lost to the Pistons and like they had a couple bad games. So I'm glad that they've inspired a bit more confidence. But yeah, I agree with you, Will, that if there is that kind of upset in the finals with that kind of profile, but I don't know if I see the finals working out in the Raptors' favor looking as much like the Oakland Pistons as you do.
Yeah, fair enough.
I think if the Raptors win the finals, it'll be Pascal Siakam's coronation. And I think Pascal have that kind of ability.
I wouldn't mind either way, man. I think both scenarios are pretty good. But honestly, if Kyle Lowry wins another championship this year, period, or even if he gets the Raptors back to the finals, he's that the Hall of Fame case is locked, sealed.
For sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. He deserves it.
He deserves it already, but you know, to the mainstream voters who are ultimately the people that vote on this stuff, you know. All right. Well, thanks for the call.
Okay. Appreciate it. Thanks so much. Have a good afternoon, guys. Bye.
Thanks.
Everyone's very nice at around noon. Everyone's chilling.
Okay. And the Raptors are, you know, winning.
Yeah.
Question from the chat. Archisan, I'm not sure I'm getting that name correctly. Who do you think is the most likely Raptor to break quarantine like Sweet Lou for some fried chicken? So long as it's KFC, I think everybody's liable to bust out of quarantine, but I think they deliver. So
yeah, there you go.
I don't think
they're going on KFC.ca, baby.
ordering, you know, a 10-piece bucket with the macaroni salad and coleslaw.
I should know off the top of my head, but I don't. But I'll report back on the next podcast for sure when the Raptors play the Magic. I mean, actually, jokes aside, I actually think the Raptors are just a really responsible group. Like, they're not really gonna be guys that would do something like this. You know what I mean? Like, they're just a really smart, responsible team. Like, as much as you want, you know, maybe you can point to a couple of those guys. We just talked about the conspiracy thing, so maybe the smart thing is, you know, situational. But yeah, I think they're just a responsible team, period. And they're not going to be doing any of that stuff. So, but if I had to pick one guy, I'd probably go with Boucher. I'm sorry, man.
I don't think any of the Raptors are going to do it. If they do, we're such going to have them on video. So the risk is too high.
What about this question from JP Couvrette? 4-3-2-1, I don't know, man. Your opinion on Siakam's performance in the two games. So let me just read you Pascal's numbers real quick to contextualize. So Pascal's averaging 18.5 points per game. He's shooting 55% from three, but only 39% overall. 7.5 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal and a half, a block. So pretty much regular Pascal stats. What do you think so far, Pascal?
I mean, he hasn't had a signature Pascal game, but he's completely delivered on in his role. Mm-hmm. He looks great. I'm excited for him to like put up 43 on somebody in what like a real fun Pascal performance. But he's looked great. It's been too bad. I feel like the headline of the Lakers game was Kyle and OG's performance. The headline of yesterday was obviously Fred. It seemed like Pascal was rolling in the first half and could have ended up with big numbers. He got hit with four stupid fouls in the third quarter.
Tell me this, man. When have you ever seen an all-star player get slapped with four fouls? And it wasn't like blatant fouls. Like, these are just like, Jimmy Butler turned his body and jerked, you know, the left side of his arm, and it's a foul. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, it was bad. But Pascal's looked great. He looked really good in the second scrimmage. He's looked good. There's nothing.
Yeah.
Pascal's the best. I like that his hair is a little longer now. He looks kind of like he did when he was younger, so that's nice.
All right.
But, like, don't you? He looks young in the. Like,
everyone growing out the hair makes him look younger. This is just.
Yeah.
This is just a trend.
I guess how it works. I wish I still had my hair.
Yeah, I didn't want to go there, but, you know, you went there.
Do you have thoughts on Pascal's performance?
I think they could probably feature him a little bit more. I don't really think he's gone to the basket that much, but I also think it was two matchups where it didn't really make a lot of sense to force feed Pascal like that. First off, him getting guarded by Anthony Davis, with all due respect to Pascal, like, there's just that's not smart, right? We're not like the Milwaukee Bucks where we have to go to Giannis every single time against a bad defensive matchup, even if the paint is clogged, because that's the only option we have. Right, like the Raptors have different options. When Kyle's going like that, you go to Kyle. When Fred is going like that, you go to Fred. Like, you know, that's one of the beauties of this team is you have so many guys who can step up. But I do think ultimately that, like, you know, what I really try to evaluate Pascal on sometimes, which is not fair entirely, but it's like, how does he do on the hardest, you know, tasks in the game, like one-on-one, you know, pulling up for three, you know, like face up in the mid-range, triple threat attack, drive to the rim, you know, pull up, get to the middle, you know, kick out when there's a double team. The stuff like on those fronts, I think he's done really well. So the Raptors actually haven't needed him necessarily to be the number one guy. So that's fine. But you know, when the moment calls for it, he's made a fair number of his jump shots. That's actually been my bigger concern. Was I was worried that, okay, after 3 months, the Pascal not shooting, maybe he's not gonna be able to shoot that well. But he shot really well. I mean, it's a small sample so far; it's two games, but the jumper looks fine. So
I guess the one thing that I'm thinking of now is it was weird that the Raptors went for 2-for-1 at the end of the game yesterday and didn't put the ball in Pascal's hands with the idea that he could like basically end the game with a possession there. I didn't love that. I agree that if the Raptors are going to go 2-for-1, the ball has to be in Kyle's hand. He's the smartest guy in every gym he plays in. But I am ready to see – I'm ready to roll the dice with Pascal and just give him the ball and say, go end the game for us. Because you saw the way that possession went with Kyle Lowry driving to the rim. He probably did get fouled. Jay Crowder played great defense. It could have been called either way. You don't want to see it in the last minute of the game. Yeah. Any other – outside of the fourth quarter, I think it gets called. I'm ready to see Pascal featured in the offense. I agree the last two matches haven't been good. Why make him slug it out with Anthony Davis and Bam Adebayo for games that ultimately won't change the Raptors seeding? I think the two seeds locked up.
I mean, the Celtics. They've done a good job of it so far. I mean, look, the Celtics game is a good example. Like, I think Pascal's going to have a great game in the Celtics game. I'll just call it here.
I can't wait.
Let's get to our next caller, man.
We have Vin from Alberta. Vin, welcome to the show. You're on with me and Will.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you guys doing?
Yo, welcome back, Vin. How you doing?
Yo, it's been a while, man. Shout out to Big Head Lou and Better Than Josh Hart, man. Yo, real quick, man. I just want to touch a couple things, man. I want to slander the Bucks a little bit.
Go for it, man.
Yo, the Bucks. Yo, listen, I want to apologize to Nick Nurse because when he first got fired, I started the White Casey meme on Twitter. And then, I want to apologize to this man because White Casey is butt, like straight up. Yo, because here's the thing. You know, if you ask any prominent NBA analyst who has the best defense in the league, they'll be like, yo, it's the Bucks. But straight up, I think it's the Raptors because I don't care what the numbers say. I can look at defensive rating, blah, 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 all that stuff, all the rankings. The Raptors are incredibly versatile on defense, whereas the Bucks kind of play mostly the same style, and it works for them in the regular season. But I feel like their style is incredibly exploitable because the Raptors defensively, like if you look at the Heat game yesterday, yo, you know how many times they let guys like Jay Crowder chuck threes, and Jay Crowder is like not even a great shooter. And the Bucks have a lot of guys like that are like solid shooters, but they're not great. So if they catch cold like they did last year, there's problems again. I view the Bucks as incredibly beatable in the half court if you can limit their transition, which is obviously easier said than done. But I think the Raptors can pretty much replicate what they did last year. Like OG is pretty much going to give you most of what Kawhi did on defense last year, especially that Kawhi wasn't like 100%. But
yeah, Kawhi on one leg.
OG is going to do that. Yeah, exactly. So what do you guys think about that in terms of, I know obviously that it seemed to be and all that, and you know we're Raptors fans and all that. But like, what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, the Bucks, the way the Bucks play is, it reminds me of like when you spam one move in a certain video game. Like, let's say you're playing like Smash Bros, and you have Kirby, and you're constantly just doing that, you know, ground pound move. You're not gonna get killed very often. You're probably gonna win the game, but you're freaking annoying for doing that. And realistically, when someone's skill comes along, can beat that strategy, you're done. So the Bucks kind of remind me of that. And if you think about the defense, just by position, if we just go guy by guy, right? Brook Lopez versus Marc Gasol, it's surprisingly close because Brook has improved a lot, but I would still take Mark defensively over Brook.
Yeah.
Right? Pascal versus Giannis. Unfortunately, I'm taking Giannis, but Pascal's not like it's not that far off.
Back-to-back MVP.
Yeah, it's fine. He should win Defensive Player of the Year. He really should, right? Chris Middleton versus OG, that's not close. I'm taking OG. You're talking about Wes Matthews or Eric Bledsoe versus Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet. I'm sorry, I'm taking the two smaller guys there. Like Fred and Kyle are much better at defense than those guys. And so even if you just look at it on that front, right, the Raptors have really good defense. The Bucks have great defense too, but I agree. Like, they are vulnerable in a way, right? Because, you know, when Giannis gets into the post and there's multiple defenders and it's stacked, has he changed anything in his game that's going to fundamentally break you? He's not like he's not Kobe with the mid-range. Like, no, it's still the same. It's, he gets to the rim, yeah. There's multiple defenders there, he turns into Luke Richard and Mbamute. Like, it's a real problem. So...
Did you guys see at the end of the game against Houston where I think Westbrook put them up one or something, mm-hmm, and Giannis is coming up down the court in the half court and he just throws it away. He doesn't even look to score. And keep in mind, this dude was like, it was like PJ Tucker in there. And we're talking about Gasol, this dude literally said he has nightmares about Gasol. You're talking about Ibaka, Ibaka has like this older head, like West African stuff on this guy. And I'm telling you, man, like if you go back years, like Ibaka's been like, if you look up Ibaka's shot blocks on Giannis, there's like 10 of them on YouTube, man. Like,
okay,
straight up.
Okay, all right.
Like this dude has fear of like our bigs, like literally has admitted that. And he didn't even want to go at PJ Tucker at the basket. Of course. It's like, I'm not trying to hate on Giannis because, you know, he's coming over, but like, I just feel like the Bucks incredibly schemable. And let's be honest, last year, like, I can ask you guys this straight up. Who'd you guys fear more, Brogdon and George Hill or Middleton?
I feel Brogdon was really giving the Raptors issues, man, because he could really drive by and, like, actually finish at the basket. Like, which other Buck player is really doing that? Other than Giannis, obviously.
I think for years beating Chris Middleton, like, DeMar DeRozan has timed him every time they play. I'm not afraid of him.
Yo, DeMar put 52 points on Chris Middleton. I was done with Chris after that point, man. I was done with him. And then
DeMar checking into game 6 against the Bucks a few years ago, he just like, all right, I'm winning this game. Yeah, Chris Middleton is all you have. It's over.
Yeah.
So Chris Middleton, I'll never appreciate his game, and that's on me as a Raptors fan, but I'm not afraid.
He's a nice shooter. He's a nice shooter. That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. No. I. The Bucks. I mean, and obviously, like White Casey doesn't adjust, man. The dude plays like last year. They lost 3 in a row, and he's like, "Yeah, we're not changing anything." And I'm like, "Yeah, we got this." Like, I knew it was a wrap. Like,
one of my favorite moments last year was one of the reporters from the Bucks was basically begging him, like, you know, Giannis is 24 years old, you know, in great shape. Why can't he play more than 40 minutes? But you guys are facing elimination. He's like, you know, it's just some players are not built to play 40 minutes. We got to give Giannis his rest. And I'm like, yo, what are you talking about? You're about to be resting for the whole summer if you don't play more than 42 minutes, man. Yo, Kawhi played 53, number in the 50s. I think 53.
Some crazy number, yeah.
In game 3. Like, yo, that was when the Raptors were down 0-2. Like, you're not playing Giannis in an elimination game more than 42 minutes? Like, it's...
Elimination game on the road. Yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
He had to manage him to win his second MVP that will do what? I mean, congratulations to Giannis for winning MVP, but still.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just a couple more things. Like one more thing, real quick about the Raptors. I'm a little concerned about the half court offense a little bit. I know, obviously, like they're just getting back into things. I'm like Pascal. I think he's a little like, I like that he's hitting his jumpers, but I'm afraid he's a little jump shot happy. I feel like a lot of teams have scouted him in the post a little bit. He kind of suffers from, remember the old thing with DeMar where it was like you just put like a bigger, taller, stronger got wing on him and he would have problems. I feel like it's the same with Pascal in the post. Like you put Giannis and AD and those are like top tier guys, but he has some problems with those guys. So I feel like that would be a slight issue because you can't expect Kyle to drop 30 points a night, even though I still feel like Kyle's our best player. He's not going to be your consistently like top scorer. So I feel like that's a slight issue. But I think the defense can honestly make up for a lot of it, which is crazy. But what do you guys think about the half-court offense?
I mean, they're not a prolific half-court offense. Like, that's just pretty clear, right? But I think a couple of things. A, I think they're defensively, I think that matters way more. Like, if you can slow down the other team and turn them into – I mean, look at what the Lakers were doing offensively, or look at what Miami was doing offensively before the refs called 10 fouls in one quarter. Like, they could not score, period. So I think defensively they can do that. And I think they get enough, like, transition opportunities off their defense to sort of supplement, so they don't have to play half court as much. Like, they're one of the best, like, fast court or full court teams in the NBA. But yeah, I mean, they don't have that, like, elite shot creator that you can go to time after time. I'm not even necessarily worried about their overall offensive rating. I'm just more worried about when things get really difficult, everyone's really locked in. Like, game 7, everyone scouted each other. Everyone knows what the matchups are. You really only have one or two advantages that you can try to go to. And when I get to that point, then I'm a little bit more concerned because, like, yeah, I agree that there is a solution right now to beating Pascal. Only certain teams have it. Only certain players have it, but it's still out there. So that's a real concern. I don't even know. I don't want to lie about the team either. Like, I think, you know, they're not perfect, and that's the weakness that they have. But ultimately, it's really about how much the Raptors can limit your offense relative to how much you can limit the Raptors' offense. Because if the Raptors share the ball, they're open threes. Maybe shots don't go in, but if they get hot enough, like, we're only going to win 4 out of 7. Not as worried, you know?
Yeah, no, I think that's I think that's a great point. Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, you had the whole answer. I think the Raptors understand that if, like, option number one on offense is going to be Pascal Siakam, and he, for the most part, has delivered regularly enough for me to feel confident. I also really like the Raptors being able to go to the Serge Kyle Lowry pick and roll. Like, it's worked well, especially in the playoffs. Serge's 3-point shot, for whatever reason,
they were running a pin down for him. That's crazy.
I think the Raptors know that they don't have a great half court offense, but know the sets that they like to run. And I think guys like Norm Powell will have the opportunity to show their athleticism. I think that you're going to see a lot of, you know, dribble handoff opportunities for Norm Powell to come down the lane from the elbow where he likes the ball. I think Nick Nurse is a gamer. He'll figure out, okay, these sets are working tonight, we're going to go to them. I trust this team to figure out the offense, and we'll get so many opportunities in transition from their defense that you just need to win 16 games. You can lose 12 of them. So who cares?
Ivan, bro, thanks for the call, man. We gotta let you go.
Thank you, guys. Stop bullying Chris Boucher, man.
Yeah, okay. You're right. My bad, Chris. I support everyone on the team, man. I support everybody on the team. I support Chris. He's had a great year. That was my bad, man. That was my bad. All right.
No. Yo, we got mad love for you, Will Zoo, man. We got mad love for you, man. You're the voice of the Raptors, man. So, yo, take it easy, guys.
I appreciate it, man.
Take it easy.
I do appreciate that a lot of people jumped to my defense. I don't think in previous reporter player exchanges, I haven't seen as much support for the reporters on that side. So,
I mean, people know that you're a real person. And you're the voice. You're right. He just said it. You're the voice of the Raptors fan. It's why I think the show works, and it's why I like working with you.
All right, let's knock out
Chris Boucher. It's probably in the chat watching right now.
Oh, listen, Chris, I appreciate you, man. Keep doing what you're doing, and good luck in free agency. All right, let's just go through the questions real quick. John asks, why is Will Lou not getting a haircut? I don't know, man. I don't want to wear a mask and risk it. Plus, I'm trying out different things right now. I got like a middle part sometimes, trying out that, like, weird little Japanese look. So, you know, that's something there. But mostly I don't have to right now, so I'm not doing it. I'd rather wear hair accessories. Aaron says, what's it like covering the bubble from outside the bubble? Can you get in on the press interviews? What resources do they get?
Well, Will's never been inside the bubble.
Facts. I'm like James Herbin. I'm at outside the NBA. All right. No, I mean, it's just like covering a road game, except they're all road games. You have Zoom conference links that the PR team will tweet out or email out basically before the game. You can join in. Normally post game, I'm not going to be in those because I'm writing 10 things and doing the reaction podcast, and that overlaps with that timing. But yeah, I mean, on off days and stuff like that, I'm in those pregame. I'm in those. You get to ask Nick and whoever some questions. That's been fine. I actually don't mind that. It's actually kind of nice instead of being in a scrum with like 20 reporters, like squeezing together, trying to hold a microphone so they can ask Nick Nurse how he's feeling about his hat. This is just more comfortable, period. So I actually kind of prefer it. And then
We have a caller. So we have a caller. Take that. Dan from Toronto. Talk about Marcus Hall. Dan, welcome to the show.
Hey, I just wanted to start by saying, Will, I've been following you since your RR days, and I always appreciate someone who can laugh at themselves in their big head. That's refreshing. Oh, yeah. Sorry, jumping on you right at the beginning of the call.
All right, that's fair. No, that's fair. That's fair. What do you got to say?
To be honest, I was a huge JV fan. I think all of us were, just, you know, his work ethic, his love of the city. But the trade for Marc Gasol, like obviously Kawhi, but the trade for Marc Gasol, I think, really put us over the top, especially in that Philly series. I don't think we make it to that beautiful shot unless we have him. So I think this year, you know, the weight loss has been great, but his top three is so key for us to win games. Like, he needs to hit at least three of those, I feel like, come playoff time for us to comfortably take teams. So I was kind of wondering how you guys think he's going to factor in. And then my other point was more just about Orlando. It looks like that's going to be our first round matchup. Are we going to sweep them? And, you know, are we going to lose game one again and be scared all over?
Well, they still got DJ Augustine for the what feels like the 20th straight season. They got DJ, you know, they got DJ Augustine like that's their Dirk or something. Like, they just have him all the time. Every time I turn on a Magic game, it's DJ Augustine running a pick and roll for a floater. I mean, you know, with Mark, I do want to see more of the scoring. I think the appetite, it felt like he had more of an appetite to score during the scrimmages than he did in either the Laker game or the Heat game. I think defensively, been elite. I mean, even better now with the weight loss. I think he's just a little bit more mobile. He's getting to his spots. He was always doing that. He was always a mobile guy, even though he was heavier set. But like, he's now, like, there's that play where he was like sliding with Goran Dragic the entire length of the floor and forced him into an air ball right before halftime. And I'm just thinking, like, wow, that mobility there is guard-esque. But I think, yeah, you do need more scoring from Mark. And I think it's just about him, like, calling his own number, right? Because it's really his own decision. He has the ball a lot. He's just mostly swinging and directing traffic. But I would like to see him pull it like at least like 6-7 times a game, because they're open threes. You know,
and that's the way shooting. I see it. But
yeah.
But sometimes he falls into a bit of a funk, and he just it looks like he can't hit anything. But you're right. Like, all the intangibles, I think, are just so key when he's on the floor. But in terms of Orlando, is there a timeline for Jonathan Isaac? Because I feel like he's been one of the best defenders I've seen on Siakam all year.
He might miss all of next season, man.
Yeah, he's out. He's out.
Done.
Well, then I think I'm pretty excited about, you know, having a nice easy run through that first round on our way to Boston or whomever. I don't know. Mm. And then just kind of a last note, you mentioned DJ Augustine. Do you think we might somehow get a discount on Fred VanVleet, because somebody might see a little bit of a double take with the way we had Augustine played for us and then got that big money? Like, I'm just worried about who and what and how we're going to do kind of the signings after the year. What does it look like after this season? Because Gasol is probably going to take a pay cut, but Ibaka's playing his out of his mind. He's going to get big money. Fred's in line for big money. Like, which ones of the free agents do you see us re-signing?
So I'm sure you're familiar with the reporting that was made available earlier this in the winter, that the board that governs the Raptors is turning over. So Masai's still a question mark. All of these things need to be sorted out before we have any idea as to how much money will be on the table to be broken up amongst the core of this Raptors championship core group of players. So I have no idea. I've talked about it all season long that retaining Fred and Serge is going to be complicated, and it has not become more clear in the time since we last spoke, which is kind of crappy. I think if the season hadn't been interrupted, we would have had all these answers, but it's going to certainly be a very interesting few weeks at the end of October and November to figure out what's going on with the Raptors. Well, anything to add?
I hope MLLC doesn't cheap out here. I mean, I understand, man. You're losing a lot of revenue because you don't have like the arenas there and bringing in revenue. But I will have to say that, you know, unlike like someone like Houston, owned by Tilman Fertitta, who has a chain of casinos and restaurants, those are really impacted. Like, he probably has, like, I understand why he doesn't have any money, because literally, like, all these businesses are shut down. I think people are still using their cell phones. I think people are still calling each other. I think people are still going on the internet. So I honestly think the core business of Rogers and Bell should be fairly stable. And I think they should be able to continue to fund the team, especially because the Raptors have been mad profitable. So, pay the players. I'm actually on the opinion now of like, just keep everybody. And they're going to be good assets. They're going to be good players. They're going to retain their value. When time comes to it, and if Giannis decides, okay, yeah, I'm coming to Toronto, which is still like a smaller chance than, I'm not saying that that's like even 50% chance. That's going to be a small chance. If he decides, yeah, I'm going to come, great. We can move some pieces around. We can bring him in. Getting Giannis is like getting a big sofa bed that you're going to like tie your whole house together. You're not going to throw out all your furniture beforehand. All right. You're going to see, okay, I'm going to decide that sofa. He's coming. I'm buying it. Then I'm putting in my house. Then I could put some other stuff on Kijiji. But, you know, right now I got to sit somewhere, you know, and Fred and Serge and Mark, these guys are real solid players.
Well, if they don't get Masai back.
Oh, yeah. Get Masai.
If they don't get Masai back. If they don't get Masai back, the city's going into mourning. Exactly. Yeah. Like, they need him.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say thank you guys. And it's been you guys have done great post games. And I really appreciate the call in show. And looking forward to calling in again.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hell yeah.
All right, I think that does it for most of the show, the callers. But let's race through a couple of questions and then get to our signature segment, the Stanley suggestions. Yes, we still have suggestions for Stanley, even though he is trapped inside of a bubble. We're gonna keep it considerate to the activities he can do in the bubble, because you know we're not gonna suggest like you know go to Magic City, get some wings. Like, we're not gonna do any of that stuff. We're gonna be respectful and responsible. Before we get there though, let's get to a couple of questions from Darone Francis. Would you rather have the Raptors defense and Nick Nurse or a quote unquote superstar? This is getting into that territory when, what was it? Celtics fans were asking, would you rather have Giannis or Brad Stevens? And people were like, yeah, Brad Stevens, definitely. Brad Stevens dropping 30, 10, and 10 every day.
Who's the quote unquote superstar? There are
Kawhi
superstars that you, I mean, I don't want that to answer this question, but there are guys that you mortgage your future to get for sure. Nick Nurse and this defense are a big part of the firmament that makes this one of the most desirable organizations in basketball. And I'm not going to part with them just for anybody. So if you're saying to me, Giannis or Nick Nurse, I'm sorry, Nick, but I don't think that's on the table. I think that part of what would make someone like Giannis want to stay and work here is the firmament we've created. I don't know. I don't like this question.
Yeah, no, this is, yeah, I don't want to even think about this. I don't know why I asked. Andrew says, rate O'Shea Brissett's bubble blog.
It's pretty good.
Did you hear Matt Thomas? Matt Thomas with
he sounds like he went to Thistletown Collegiate.
What's that?
He sounds like he went to teach at Thistletown Collegiate Institute. Sounds like any guy in Rexdale. There is north of West Humber Boulevard and south of West Humber Boulevard. He extremely sounds like he's from south of West Humber Boulevard.
Yeah.
And that's good. It's nice. He's embracing the culture.
Yeah. Shout out Matt Thomas, man. I don't know where the players have been taking him, but he's learning a lot. You always want to see people expand and grow as people.
Maybe Matt Thomas is following the Stanley suggestions. He's just hanging out on Orpheus Road.
I mean, we might have to give him a whole set of different, suggestions, but that's another thing. What else on here? T-Roy, hit me when you're with your best advice for podcasters or someone looking to get into it. Troy from Saga City, baby. Well, first off, signing your own, questions is definitely a great, way to, you know, like I'm serious. Like, get your own personal brand out there. I think, you know, definitely don't be shy of using your voice. And I don't know, man. Just pick a lane. I think honestly, I think too many shows are like too varied. Just like focus on one topic, really consistently deliver on that topic. You know, if you're not funny, don't try to be funny. I know that's coming from me, but like, you know, just, but at the same time, like, put your personality into it. And I think honestly, if you speak openly and honestly about most things, people are going to want to listen. So best of luck to Troy from Saga City.
Yeah, don't be who you're not. Find a format that works for your voice. And no William Liu. That's how I got here.
So. Wow. All right. This is like a Ringer situation. Actually, specifically, it's not, because you're here. But,
let's. And you're not producing. You're actually talent. So yeah, very, thanks. Very different from.
Wow. All right. Before I make any more enemies, let's talk about Stanley Suggestions. All right. Thanks, everyone, for the calls. Thanks, everyone, for the questions. We really appreciate it. Obviously, this first show back has been really exciting. So we're running a little long, but we definitely look forward to you guys calling in. Actually, we have a show next week as well, Tuesday, same time, 12 p.m. So call in, same number, everything like that. But Josh, Stanley Suggestions, people have been waiting, man. It's been 4 months. Stanley's inside a bubble. He's probably getting a corona test right now. What's going on? What do you want him to be doing?
I think there's only one thing that I can recommend that Stanley Johnson get up to in the bubble. If I came back and didn't mention it right away, I'd be letting down so many people. And that's Indian Matchmaker. Stanley Johnson, you need to watch Indian Matchmaker. It is an entertainment experience unlike any other. All year long, Netflix has been putting out these dating shows. I don't even know the names of them because I didn't watch. Indian Matchmaker is different. There is something so wonderful about this cast of characters. Shout out to Aparna. I know everybody hates you, but I see you. I identify with being a crabby person, so I rate you big time. I think that, have you watched Indian Matchmaker?
I have. I just finished.
What,
yeah.
What did you think?
I thought it was great. First off, I mean, like, culturally, it's so different from what I know, right? So like, it's nice to just like go in and see the culture, because it is like an experience, right? But at the same time, it also is. I don't know. It's just legitimately a fun matchmaking show. Like, it's funny because the main matchmaker. Who I don't know why I'm so bad with names.
Simi.
Yeah, right. She's so blunt about everything. It's actually really funny because they'll have an interview. She'd be like, "All right, what are you looking for?" And they'll be like, "You know, I want a tall guy. I want him to be smart. I want to be outgoing, not too serious, but also like has a career or something like that." And then afterwards, you'll cut to like just the video of just the matchmaker, and she'll be like, "Yeah, she's asking for too much. She can't get all these things." And I'm just dying because it's just so funny that she's so blunt.
Oh,
but that's what it's like talking to if you're talking to her like uncle or auntie, like, you know, they're going to tell you the truth. Then they're going to be like, "Look, man, you're asking for way too much," or like, "You're already in a great situation. Lock that thing down." Like, they'll be serious with you. So I actually like that.
Yeah.
It's a nice twist.
I really liked it. It felt like, you know, like my late grandfather, rest in peace, Frank Stone, he passed away during all this. He's of Indian. I grew up in Rexdale, surrounded by Punjabi families. It felt like brown people for brown people. Mm. And that was so exhilarating. Like, there's no offense, something very different about watching that show than like watching the Mindy Project, which, you know, God bless the Mindy Project and Master of None. But this felt like the families that I grew up around, and that, you know, I like visited their homes at Diwali, and it felt great. I really liked it. And I think anybody with any love for other people will enjoy it. So Stanley Johnson, enjoy Indian Matchmaker. That's my Stanley suggestion this week. How about you, Will?
Yeah, I mean, keeping with the bubble theme, you know, maybe go out there and catch some fish. I think, you know, some things, you just want to build your confidence with things that you can do. And the NBA has really made an effort to apparently stock the ponds with extra fish. I don't know how they're maintaining that population. I feel like you're really disrupting the ecosystem, but whatever. Okay. Adam Silver is spending his off time importing fish. Basically, he's going to the Chinese restaurant, looking at the submarine tank, and just being like, "I want all those things," and then bring it right to Disney World. So he's stocking the ponds with fish. I feel like it'd just be good for Stanley's confidence. You know, it's relaxing. You go to practice, you finish practice, you get, you know, fishing rod, you go out there and you just fish for like 2 hours, and just like, you know, that the thrill and satisfaction, maybe you can build this confidence a little bit. I just think it's a nice activity, and it's good to succeed once in a while, you know? So I think that it'd be good if Stanley was out there catching some fish. That's all.
It looks fun. I think that's a great answer. It does look fun. It seems like all the guys are hanging out and enjoying each other's company. And I don't know. I think it's difficult to be away from your friends and family in your real life. So any opportunity for these guys to hang out, it seems like I remember before the bubble opened, they said they'd have DJs there every night and stand-up comedians. That shit hasn't started yet, has it? Like, is Kevin Hart pulling up to the bubble?
Oh, you know, 100% he's pulling up to the bubble, man. Stanley, you know, honestly, I'm just saying this. Kevin Hart is, like, maybe two more corona cases away from being on the Nets right now. All right. You're telling me you don't want to see Kevin Hart versus Chris Chioza one-on-one? Like, I would love to see King of the Court with Chris Chioza versus Josh Hart, so, or versus Kevin Hart. So, actually, I guess I would love to see you do that, too.
I can't wait for there to be an episode of the Joe Budden podcast recorded live from the bubble. Like, I feel like as the playoffs go on, as August turns to September, October, the stories are going to get stranger because people are going to get bored.
Oh, yeah.
I know that. You know, and we're, what, a week and a half away from teams starting to get kicked out of the bubble because they're not playoff contenders. But even then, like, it's going to be very boring for the Utah Jazz. Like, after the series is over, they're down 2-0, and they just need to play two more games in order to leave. Mm. What are they going to do for fun? They're not going to be reviewing tape. They're going to be getting their asses kicked by the Los Angeles Clippers.
Yeah.
It's just going to be very funny times ahead.
Well, there you go. Those are our Stanley suggestions. You suggested Indian matchmaking. I suggested going fishing. So that does it for the podcast. That does it for the live show. Thanks, everyone, for calling in. Thanks, for everyone, for leaving comments. As I mentioned earlier, we have another show next Tuesday. So please, call in 12 p.m. Eastern. Whoever knows Vitaly, go out there and just, like, let him know that the show is back. We have no contact on this guy, so this is our only means to contact him. So we're doing so publicly. And yeah, seriously, call in, leave your comments. It's a fun time. Thanks to our producers for putting the show back together. So for myself, for Josh, for our sponsor KFC, we're signing off. Pound the rock.
Run it back.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.